to be here today. Amen. And to know that we're in the presence of God, that he's in his place. He tells us that whenever we gather together, he lives within us. So he is in the midst of us. He's here. He's receiving the praises. The worship was awesome. And just coming together and giving God the glory. And recognizing, you know, Don had lots of announcements today, and sometimes that's a bit distracting, but it does remind us that there's a lot of good things going on and that God is moving. And one of the things that he's been just really impressing on my heart is that so many of these things that we are celebrating, so many of these things that we're happy about, we're seeing a lot of good reports. At the end of it, when you look at the whole thing, you go, wow, only God could do this. We could not pull this off, you know. We can do some things. I'm not saying that, you know, there's no capabilities here or that we have no gifts. We got lots of potential. But the things that are happening, we need to acknowledge today, those are things that God is doing. We could not orchestrate this. We could not make a thrift store work. We couldn't have a day like we had yesterday. We couldn't, there's a ministry yesterday to Moscachis, and some amazing things happened there. 2-3 people gave their hearts to the Lord. Right? You should celebrate that, right? Thank you, Jesus. That's good. But we do not make that happen. We don't have a meeting somewhere along the line and say, here's the plan, you know, and then we got a plan and we're going to make this happen. We're going to get our willpower and put everything we've got into this. It just does not work that way. And that's just something that God, he actually woke me up in the middle of the night last night and he just said, you know, it's about me. It's all about me. This happens because I do it. I'm doing it because you're obedient. I'm doing it because my people love me. It is an exciting thing when people like yesterday give their hearts to the Lord. Last Sunday, I stood here and I said, anybody want to give their heart to Jesus, come on up to the front. And I went home thinking, okay, it didn't work. You know, whatever. You know, like it's not up to me. I can't make people become Christians or whatever. You know, like sometimes that happens, sometimes there's a response, and sometimes there's not. What I didn't know is that Tasha gave her heart to Jesus yesterday, last week. Amen. Okay, now let me tell you something. It says, it does not say this in the Bible. It does not say that when someone becomes a Christian, two angels get together and they sit around a 4x4 table and they drink tea. That's not what happens. It says that when someone gives their heart to the Lord, when his reckless love shows the abandon of his grace, and someone comes to Jesus, there is myriads of angels, there are tens of thousands of angels, and they're shouting and they're praising God, and they're saying, glory to God! Glory to God in the highest! Right? There's great praise. Great praise. So we shout to God today for those two or three yesterday, for Tasha, we love you. Know this, girl. You belong to the King. You belong to Jesus. This is a new life. We're journeying it with you. We got your back. We love you. Here we go. See, it's going to happen. We're not going to let that distract us. You know, God is good, and this is a new beginning, brand new beginning. He loves you. This is exciting. Amen? Thank you, God. A couple things we're going to just pray about. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you for worship. Thank you for this body, for what you're doing among us. Thank you for Tasha. May your Holy Spirit just rest upon her, God. May she be so filled with you. May you remove all the emptiness and the woundedness and whatever it is that she brought into this place that's no longer here. It's no longer in her heart because Jesus Christ reigns in Tasha's heart. Fill her with your Spirit, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I want to pray for a few other people today who really need you, Lord. Pray for Rick and Kim. Lord, it just seems like there's been so many hard things that have been going on in this family. We just lift our hands up right now. We all lift our hands up over these people. Yesterday, Kim's brother died. There's been so much death and threats of death. So in Jesus' name, I just want to break that in Jesus' name. We join together and we pray for a breakage of this, that the enemy no longer can have his grip on this family, on the cousins, on the uncles and aunts, on sisters, whatever it is, God. In your name, we break the power of the enemy. We break the power of the enemy. We speak life. We speak life, God. And we ask you, Lord, to just promote life in this family. Lord, we pray for a newness. We heard that word freshness earlier, and that just really resonated too. So Holy Spirit, let the freshness of the Holy Spirit rest on this family. Comfort them today, God. Bind them to your heart, God, in Jesus' name. Remind them together, remind them today that your love is an enduring and it's a faithful love. You never fail. Your love never fails. God, we have nothing but you. There's nothing else. I just pray that you would impart your comfort and your peace today, in Jesus' name. And just for Mel and Earl, too, we want to pray for them today because Mel's back in the hospital, so we want to remember them, God, and pray for your healing power. You know, Lord, how she's been struggling with cancer, and we've been so glad for the report of the cancer being gone, but now there's another threat, and so in Jesus' name, we just want to pray against that. I know that Earl is going through such a hard time, so just ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, just hold this brother close to your heart. Encourage him, God, and I pray, God, we pray that the enemy will not be able to whisper the lies into his ears. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, God, that you are the healer. You're doing this, God, and we trust you for it and pray that you'll continue to heal. We pray for Kevin. Pray for him today. Again, we're just going to keep praying for our brother. You pray, Don.
God, I ask for healing and the removal of this tumor.
In Jesus' name.
God, we ask for health and new life for Kevin, God.
Yes.
And that the enemy, that his lies would be silenced, and God, that Kevin would hear your voice.
In Jesus' name.
God, that Kevin would hear your voice. God, in your gentle, holy, beautiful way, God, speak to Kevin.
Yeah.
And may he enjoy you, God, in Jesus'
name. You belong to the King. You belong to the King. He's got it in control. He's got it in control, brother. He knows. God knows.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. Praise you, God. Just for your healing power, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd be doing good if I could find. There's my Bible. I'm going to invite you this morning to just turn with me to Psalm 33. Isn't it great that God speaks to us? Isn't that great? I mean, it'd be one thing if we just came here and everyone was speaking. We all had something to say. But it's so much better that we get to listen and that God has something to say. And I just remind you of that because maybe you're here today and you need to hear something specific. I really believe that God, through his Holy Spirit, has something for you today. There's something you're going to walk out of here today going, okay, I needed to hear that today. I needed to hear that today. Psalm 33, I'm going to read from verse 12 as we start. Psalm 33. And this is what the psalmist writes. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and he sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all who consider everything that they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all of its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. Did you hear that? He's talking about you. The eyes of the Lord are on those who love him or who fear him or who revere him. Guys, the eyes of the Lord are on you. He sees you today. He sees what you need. He sees where you're struggling. He sees where you're wounded. There's great comfort in this. The eyes of the Lord are on you. The eyes of the Lord are on you. He sees it. On those whose hope is in his unfailing love. Wow. He delivers them from death. And he keeps them alive in famine. And now here's the response of the people. So this is how Psalms often work. There's God speaking and then there's some teaching. And then here's the response of the people. And they say this. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Amen. Amen. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. You say amen to that?
Amen.
Let me hear you again. Amen?
Amen.
Let me just read those last, that response one more time. We wait in hope upon the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Those are great words. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask you a question as we begin this morning. And the question is just, you know, where do you put your confidence? Where do you put your hope? What is your trust based on today? Because that's really the theme for this passage. What's it based on? And I think that there's a lot of people who put their trust in a whole lot of different things in this world. They put their trust in the size of armies. A lot of men do that. If we've got a bigger army, we think we're going to win. And the psalmist makes it kind of clear today that's not necessarily true. You can have a huge army. It doesn't mean you get victory. Other people, you know, put their trust in their beauty. When you're young and you're beautiful, that's easy. But just wait for 10 years and 10 pounds. And the beauty, you know, seems to fade. But, you know, lots of people, they think when they're, I remember that, you know, you're 20 years old or you're 18 years old and you're in the gym, you think, looking good. You know, beauty doesn't last like any of these things. It doesn't last. Your money, you can't take it with you. Doesn't matter how much of it you have. You can't take it with you. You can put your trust, you can put your confidence in that, but it really isn't going to work either. It's not going to give you the comfort. It's not going to take care of you in any way. The stock market, we've learned in the last few weeks, is something you better not put your confidence in because it's just all over the map, right? So there's all of these things, even your church, even your family. You know, we think, well, that's what I'm going to put my confidence in. I put my confidence in the church. I got a great church or my family. But even that will let you down. Even that is really not where our trust is found. And you know the answer to the question. Our trust is in the Lord.
Amen.
The only one who I can put my confidence in, the only one who is really a rock, the only one who is always there for me, the only one who will never forsake me is God. Amen? Amen. Give him a hand. Amen. That's good to remember that. The psalmist, he says, you know, no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. You can put your trust in a horse, but that's a vain hope for deliverance. In spite of all the strength of a horse, it still isn't strong enough to save you. Now, just back to another psalm. In Psalm 20, he says this, you know, some trust in chariots, and some trust in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Amen?
Amen. So that's what we're going to start on. We're going to put our trust in God. And there's, I think many of us here today, just want you to know we've been praying for you guys. We've been praying for you. You missed the prayer, but we're still praying. Okay. I know you're going through a hard time. We're talking today about trusting God. Putting our trust and our faith in him. Even in the face of death, even in the face of addiction, even in the face of all the hard things that come our way. God hasn't let go of you. God loves you. Okay? So we put our trust in God. We put our trust in the only one who is constant and who is sure. And I think the question, though, is what is it about God? And this is the important question. What is it about God that is trustworthy? And I don't jump at any answers. Just think about it, though, for a minute. What is it about God that makes him trustworthy, that makes it so that I can put my confidence in him and say, I know that you are my God, and I know that you will come through? And we might answer that question by saying, well, maybe it's his power, or maybe it's his creativity. Maybe that's why we put our trust in God. He's so creative. Maybe it's his knowledge. Maybe our trust is rooted in his knowledge because God knows so much. But those are not the things. That's really not where our trust is. The root or the basis or the starting point of our trust in God, in other words, the reason why you can absolutely trust God is not because of his power. It's not because of his creativity. It's not because he knows everything, but it's because he loves. He is a loving God. And it's because of his love. I think this is so important because I don't know that we all understand this. It's because of his love. His love is unfailing love that I can keep trusting him. Verse 18 and verse 22. Can you get those on there? verse 18 and verse 22. I want you just to let this soak in you. The love of God, the reason why you can trust God. And just leave verse 22 up, okay, after you, when you get to it. I'll just read it. Here's what it says. But the eyes of the Lord are on all those who fear him and on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. His unfailing love. And then verse 12, 22. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. God's love is an unfailing love. That's kind of a combination of his faithfulness and his love. You put those two things together, that's his chesed love in the Hebrew. It's his merciful love, his unfailing love. It's a special term in the Old Testament. It talks about the only kind of love, the merciful, gracious, kind love of a faithful God that is always constant. It's an amazing thing. And it is his love, and the fact that he loves you, that you can keep trusting him, and that I can keep trusting him. He always loves. One of the, maybe the most important thing I learned when I was a little kid, one of the best lessons that my mom and dad ever taught me is that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? Jesus loves me. This is what we're talking about today. It's all about the love of God. It's about the love of the Father as he's shown that love through Jesus Christ, right? How great the love, John writes in the letter, the first epistle of John. How great is the love that the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God. Do you understand that? Are you following me? You are loved by God. He loves you so much, and it's his faithfulness and his love that make the unfailing love. It's the prayer today. May your unfailing love, God, may your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. His love for you is an unfailing love. It never falters. Every day he goes, I love her. I love her. I love her. Even when she stumbles and falls, even when she's imperfect, even when he says things he shouldn't say, even when he goes where he shouldn't go, I love him. I have unfailing love for you. And it's because of that unfailing love that we can say, I trust God. Amen. I just trust him because he just keeps loving me. He loves me no matter what. He just keeps loving me. He's such a great God. Amen. And he's shown us that love, especially through who? Through Jesus, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. That whoever believes in him, he so loved the world, right? He loved the world so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. It is all based on one thing, and that is his love and his faithfulness, his unfailing love that he's shown towards us, unfailing love. And the good thing about the unfailing love of God is that the love of Jesus, I want you to try to understand this, the love of Jesus trumps, and I'm using that word as a verb now, not as a noun or a person. The love of Jesus trumps what's improbable. I'm going to say that again. I want to try to explain it. That the love of Jesus is so powerful, it's so pervasive in our lives, that it trumps what's improbable. And when I talk about the improbable, what I mean is this, that there's so many things in our lives that are improbable. They're improbable. Things that probably aren't going to happen, we think, or shouldn't happen, or they just don't make sense. We wish they would happen. It would be really nice if that were true, but it's not true. It's not real life. Things like when we hear you can be forgiven of all your sins, we go, well, yeah, that's a nice dream, nice thought. I hope that is true, but, you know, let's live in a real world. That's kind of improbable that I can be forgiven of my sins. No, I'm going to get exactly what I deserve. That's how things work. I get what I deserve. It would be improbable and highly unlikely for me to get a new life. Nice thought. I'm glad some of you people think that. But, you know, like I live in a real world. That's not probable. But what I'm telling you today is that the love of Jesus trumps the improbable. Amen. Right? It trumps the improbable. So all of those thoughts that say, well, I'm not worthy, and it can't happen to me, I can't be forgiven, or I can't be set free. People say, you know, Christians say, you can be set free of this. We go, yeah, man, that would be nice. But not very likely, you know. It is likely through Christ. And that's where faith comes in. So Jesus, the love of Jesus, trumps the improbable. That's true for healing, too. I know a lot of times we think, well, I have this thing. I've been diagnosed with this diagnosis. It would be nice if it was gone. I would like that to be gone, but it's highly unlikely. Even my doctor says it's highly unlikely. It's improbable. I just got to kind of grin and bear it. But Jesus says, no, because I trump the improbable. I trump what is improbable, what is unlikely, what in your carnal mind you say to yourself, well, that can never happen. Jesus says it can. It can, and let me show you how. So Jesus trumps. He trumps the improbable in our lives. He trumps it. And the real question today, because we're talking about the love, right? I don't know if I've made this clear. Did I say already that he loves you? I said that once? Okay. He loves, Joyce, he loves you. He loves you. He goes, Jamie, I love this guy. Oh, I love this guy. Oh, love this guy. Oh, man, I just love this guy. That's God, right? Love this guy. There's Mark. I love her. Love this girl. Did I say it? Did you get it? That Jesus loves you? That you can trust the Father. You can absolutely trust the Father only because of the unfailing love that he's shown to you. Because of love, we can trust God. But now what this really means for us is that we need to be secure in his love. Let me say it again. We need to find that place where we're actually secure in the love of God. Where we receive it like you did. You go, okay, I'm loved by God. God, just love away. And the reason why I'm bringing that up, because in my experience, there's a lot of people who believe in God. They believe in God, but they don't believe that he loves them. They believe in God. In fact, if you look at some of the surveys, I think the numbers is still around 85 to 90% of people. You ask them the question, do you believe in God? And they go, yes, I believe there's a God. Do you believe he loves you? No. I don't know who he is. I don't know about him, whether that would be true. I don't know where this God, I think there is a God. I don't know where he is. He's somewhere off in Jupiter or some other place. But if you have to answer the question, does he love me? Most people will go, no, I don't know anything about that. And that is because they do not have a relationship with this God. So this is important because you might believe in God, and that's great. But it says in the Bible, even the demons believe in God. So you don't get any extra marks for that. The important thing isn't that you believe in God, it's that you believe in the love of God. I'm breaking up here, right? Something's happening? I don't know why. You get me a battery, I'll grab this. Don, what did you do with that microphone? Up here? Okay, you guys pretend like I'm still talking. I'll just use this. This is fine. Is this working? This is fine. So, you understand what back up to where did I start here again? You know, it's about love and that we need to accept the love. You need to believe that you have a God who actually loves you. Not just that there's a God, but that he loves you and that you can be secure. That's the word I was using. Are you secure in the love of God? Can you stand today and say, you know what? I know that God loves me no matter what. He just keeps loving me. I am secure in that relationship that I have with him. I know that I'm loved by God. That is so important. And in my experience, again, I run into lots of different people. And I'm going to even talk about you guys. In this group here today, there are some people who are very secure in that love. They walk around with that confidence. They go, I am loved by God. And they live it. And they live it. But there are others of us who aren't so sure. Where we're actually showing by the way we live or the how we feel or the little hole that we're hiding in that we're not really sure whether God loves us or not, and we don't know if we can trust him. And you'll never be able to trust God unless you understand that he loves you. That's the connection today. Do you get that? You'll never be able to know and trust God unless you know that he loves you and you are secure in that love. And the telltale sign
For whether you have that or not is one word. It's peace. Do you have peace? There's a lot of people, they go to church, they don't really have peace. They really don't know whether God loves them. They don't know if all that woundedness, all the hurt in their past, all the words that have been spoken against them, all the curses, they just keep carrying them along all of their lives and don't really have the shalom, which is what that word peace means, the wholeness, the contentment, the completeness, the wholeness, the shalom of God. Because you don't know, you see, you don't know the love. You're not secure in the love of the Father. And next week, we're going to hear probably a whole lot more of this, and it's going to be even expanding on what I'm introducing you to today. But I want you to ask yourself the question, am I secure in the love of God? Do I have that kind of a relationship with Jesus who's shown me the love? Do I have that kind of relationship that I'm secure in this? This week, my little four-year-old grandson spent a little time with me and Crystal on Thursday. And he wanted me to read him a book, and he was really crabby. And it was just before supper, and sometimes kids get crabby, and he just had been sick, so it's unusual for him. He was just a little bit crabby. And I was reading him a book, and I had my arm around him, and he didn't like my arm around him. He kept pushing it off, and I didn't know what he wanted, what he was doing. Because normally, Isaac, I can put my arm around Isaac, and he's fine. But it was bugging him. He said, Grandpa, move your arm. I said, well, do you want me to read you the book? Yeah, read the book, but move your arm. Get your arm off of me. I don't want it, right? And I just got that picture. You know, that's not so different from a lot of us. Because we're not secure. When we're not secure in the Father's love, we want him to just get your arm off of me, right? And there's what happens in our lives is that there's turmoil and chaos and doubt and a whole bunch of other things I'm going to get to in a minute. But we do that, and maybe you've been doing that in your life. You just keep telling God, you know, I don't mind you sitting next to me and read me a book. Keep me interested. Keep me entertained. I like that, but get your arm off of me. And God just goes, you know, I just want to wrap my arm around you, like you guys, right? I just want you to feel secure. I want you to feel secure. Let me. And, you know, I got that many times. And by the way, Isaac is the one of my grandchildren who more than 4 years ago, the doctor said, just abort him. He'll never make it. And he is so normal. He is so good, so strong. He's just a tough little kid. You know, the doctors don't know everything. His life has been saved. His parents would not do this. He came out alive and kicking. So praise God for Isaac. Amen. And what I'm saying is that most of the time with Isaac, he likes to be cuddled. He likes to have my arm around him. And sometimes I've had it even where he just kind of puts his head against Grandpa's shoulders, and he falls asleep. Yeah. Well, that's kind of the picture that God really wants. He wants to put his arm around you. He wants to know you're just secure. You're in a safe place, Tash, when you're under his arm. You're in a really safe place, and that you can rest in the love. Rest in the love of the Father for you. He loves you. Man, he says, man, I don't just love you. Man, I love you. He says, I love you so much. You are precious. You are beautiful. You are my daughter. I lavish my love on you. How great the love the Father has on us that we could be called the daughters and the sons of God. That's an amazing thing. We get that. We know that. But here's what happens for many people when we keep pushing God's arm off of us. Is that we just keep fighting our own battles. And our lives are more characterized or described by turmoil than peace. Turmoil than peace. Right? Things like this. And maybe if this describes you, you know, a little light will go on. Conflict. If you've got a lot of conflict in your life, and it seems like everywhere you go, you're fighting with somebody. There's always something that's bugging you, or someone's living in your head, that person, and you keep thinking about that person who's bugging you, and they keep living up here. You know, a lot of times it's because you don't have peace, and the real problem is you don't have security in the Father's love. You don't. I talked to a fellow the other day, and we went through 10 different people. said, what about, you know, you told me that you have a conflict with this guy, with this neighbor, with this person from church, with this family member, this in-law. And you know what the common denominator is here? He said, what? You. It's you. Like, all these, you're the one, you're the common, you're in all of these battles. And the reason for that is because you just don't really believe that God loves you. If you believe that God loves you, that his love for you is unconditional and it is an unfailing love, then your identity is no longer that old identity. Your identity is a new creation in Christ. Amen? Amen. So, conflict, and I'm not saying you never have conflict. Hey, some of us have had conflict. We've worked it out. You know, I'm not saying there's never conflict. But when conflict characterizes your relationships, when there's this ongoing track record in your life and you're the common denominator, it maybe is a good question to ask yourself, am I secure in the Father's love? Am I? Another thing, another, I think, telltale sign is crises. And I know I've preached on this the last couple months, a couple times. I'm going to touch on it again because it just keeps seeming to come up in some of our lives. If your life seems to keep going from crises to crises, you keep putting out fires, and then when that fire is put out, I got to put out this fire, and you go, oh, there's another fire. You're like a fireman. I want to ask you a question. I want you to listen to this carefully. Are you lighting the fires? Those fires that you're putting out, did you start them? Did you start them? Because sometimes we're so comfortable in our crises that when there's no fire, we're going to make one happen, right? I'm going to make a fire happen because when a fire happens, I'm getting lots of attention and I'm running around and I'm doing this. I got things to do and there's, oh, get the alarm bells going. You know, sometimes, I'm not saying it's you, but sometimes we're starting our own fires. And if you're starting your own fire and this is happening to you a lot, yeah. You need to ask yourself the question, am I really confident? Am I secure in the Father's love? Because here you go. You don't need to start a fire. You don't need to start a fire to get God's attention. You don't need to start some fire so that people will pray for you and they'll lay hands on you. You don't need to have some disaster always happening in your life just so that God will love you. Listen to me. God loves you. He loves you in spite of the fire. So blow the match out and be confident. You can trust God. You can rest in him. You can have peace and you can have security that he loves you. Amen? And one more. My Bible is there. I got to put a light on this thing. In Isaiah, the third one I want to mention today, or it's actually in Proverbs, the third one I want to mention today is offense. And I think these things kind of are connected, whether it's crisis, whether it's conflict, or whether it's offense. And the message about offense is, you know, there's some of us, we're just offended all the time. Something's always got under our skin, whether it's somebody or something or some worry or some debt or whatever it is, we're just offended. Or someone says something and that's it, I'm done. I'm done with him. I'm not doing this no more. I'm leaving, right? Offense is just another, honestly, it's just another amazing tool of the enemy. And boy, does he ever use it in the church. And he uses it in marriage. He uses it in all of our relationships. I want to read this from Proverbs 19, verse 11. A man's wisdom, are you listening? No one's offended yet, are they? Someone's phone is ringing. I am offended. I don't know whose that was, but if I find out. A man's wisdom, he says, a man's wisdom gives him patience, and it is to his glory to overlook an offense. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. So here's the message. Are you offended about something? Is there someone here who's offended you? Is there someone who said something that you don't like? Get over it. Overlook it. Be mature. Be secure. Be secure in the love of the Father. And it's a choice. Here's the funny thing, is I was working on this message, and then I think it was Friday, all of a sudden somebody offended me Friday morning. And I'm going, man, I'm not going to do this no more. I'm tired of this. I have helped this person. And I go, oh, wait a minute. All right, I got to overlook this one too, right? I'm done. Okay, I forget it. I forget. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to be offended. And here's a lie that the enemy speaks to many of us when we're offended. And again, remember, being offended all the time, I'm not saying we're never offended, and there are some things we should be offended about. There are sometimes we should rise up in offense. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about immaturity, and that when we find ourselves that offended all the time, always in tears, always mad at somebody, always misinterpreting what someone has said to us, it's because we really don't feel the love of the Father. We're not secure in it. Because when I'm secure in the love of the Father, you know what? And I'm learning this. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter how you slander me or gossip me. What really matters is what the Father thinks of me. Amen. Because my identity is rooted in the love of the Father, and I'm secure in that. I am secure in that. I am not that old man anymore who is insecure and is trying to prove himself, and there's always turmoil, and I've always got to get mad at somebody, and I'm going to be offended because you looked at me. Don't look at me like that. Right? I'm not going to look at you again. All that stuff happens. It is strictly immaturity, and it's because we aren't really understanding. Oh, you're loved. You're so loved by God. I love you so much. But it has to do with our new identity, guys. Our new identity. And here's the lie I was going to tell you about. The lie is, here's the enemy uses this. He used it all the way back in the Garden of Eden. He says, you should be offended. Is that really what God is like? Is this just the God who made you? He won't let you eat from that beautiful tree? Oh, you should just leave. You know, you should just do what you want to do. You should just get mad about this. That's really what the snake was saying to Adam and Eve, and he still says it to me. He says it to you sometimes. He says, why don't you just take off? You know what? Punish these people. I mean, listen, hear me out here. This is how he says. He says, you know, you should, if this happens in a marriage, you go, oh, I'm out of here. I'm going to punish her. I am done. Happens a lot in churches where people go, you know what? I'm leaving then. If I'm not appreciated around here, I'm offended, and I got these conflicts going in my life, I'm out of here. That will teach them. That's going to teach them a real lesson when I leave. I'm out of here, man. Then they're going to be sorry. I got news for you here. This is going to sound harsh. You're leaving, whether it's in any relationship, whether it's a church or whatever it is, it isn't going to be nearly as big a deal as you think it is. And we regret when that happens. It's happened many times. I've seen it. I've been in ministry for over 30 years. Seen it lots of times that people take their ball and they go home. But you know who really hurts? You know who really loses in that? Is that person and their wife or their husband or that family, their children. Because we choose to just bail. It's kind of like this, although not exactly like this. In the last 3 weeks, I have been punishing, and I mean this, I have been punishing the Calgary Flames. They're really getting it from me because they've only scored 9 goals in the last 9 games, and they are not getting me to watch them anymore, I'll tell you that much. Yeah, no, I'm not kidding you. I don't watch them anymore. I'm sick of them. And listen, you Oilers fans, we could go there, but we're not going to go there. But do you understand how foolish that sounds? I say, I am not going to watch you guys. I'm not going to read the stories about it. I'm punishing you guys. You think they care? Do you think they know? No, they don't know. They don't know. And that's what happens, right? We listen to the enemy and we think, well, now I'm going to really teach them a lesson. No, you don't really teach us a lesson. You don't really teach your family a lesson or your marriage a lesson. You don't really teach your church a lesson when you punish us by leaving. And that's really not what God wants you to do. He wants us to work these things out and to love each other and that we all stand secure in the Father's love. Amen. So don't listen to that lie. It's the liar who says, you know, you should leave. Just go. Man, that'll teach them. It only teaches you. It only hurts you. It only hurts your family and your kids. And that's really the truth. So it has to do with peace today. And so I'm asking you that question. Do you really have the peace of Jesus in your heart? Are you able to stand with me today and say, you know, I am secure in the Father's love. I'm secure. I know that he loves me. And because I know he loves me, I know I can trust him. There are days when I wonder about it. There are days when I wonder whether he's faithful. I wonder why things are happening. I wonder why there's death. I wonder why my prayers don't get answered. I'll be honest, I have those questions. But because of your unfailing love, we will put our hope in you. Amen. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Amen. This morning, I want to just give you an opportunity to receive the fullness of that peace. I believe that God wants us to leave today knowing that we have the security of his love. I want to walk out of here today going, I'm a son of God. I am precious in his sight. He has lavished his love upon me. That's what we need to do. So here's what I believe we're going to do is, it's going to have a few people standing right here, kind of like we've done before, like three or four on this side and three or four on this side. And for those of us who really want a prayer, maybe it's not even a prayer. It's just someone to speak these words over you. Wouldn't that be great to have someone just lay their hands on you and say, may the unfailing love rest upon you. May the unfailing love rest upon you today. May the unfailing love rest upon you as we put our hope in him. So I'm going to grab a guitar in a minute. I'm just going to sing quietly a song. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask if it's time for you to get some security in your relationship with your Father. Now, here's where this whole thing takes a bit of a turn, and you go, I don't know what he's doing now, but I'm going to do it anyways. I'm thinking and believing, I sort of had this picture of God last night, laying hands on people here, setting people free, people experiencing peace, and it was a wonderful picture. But the thing of it is that the picture was of hands that were black. Yeah. And I know this is probably not politically correct. I don't know what that even means anymore nowadays. But I'm going to ask people who have black hands. There's four of you here, and there's one of you there. And again, I don't think that's politically correct at all, and probably it'll be a bad thing I'm doing here. But I just had this sense today that we needed to be blessed. We need to hear that blessing and that prayer. And I know that you're just kids, but you got to be part of that. We need to receive it. Receive it from you. And I believe, please just stick with me here a minute, but I believe the reason for this, Tola, is this happened about a month ago when we were cleaning the thrift store. And Rejoice, who I was hoping she'd be here today, she's not here today. Her and Joseph, she's close to having her baby. But while we were cleaning the thrift store, this is kind of a funny story. People were dusting, and they were dusting the shelves, and someone had already dusted one particular gondola shelf, and they said to her, you don't need to dust that one, that one's done. And they had a white glove on, and they said, yeah, you see, it's good. And she took her black finger, and she ran it across the shelf, and she said, it's not clean at all. And it was full of white dust. It was full of dust. So maybe this is where this is coming from. Maybe, I don't know. But I believe that God wants you guys. Would you come up? And Tola, would you come? That's five. And I'm going to ask you, Pauline, too, because you're not a native Canadian. And I'm not going to talk about the color of your hands because I think I've said enough of that. How about if we have three of you stand here and three of you stand here? And now let's pray. Just stand here, stand right in the middle of the aisle there, okay? and let God lead you. Let God lead you. Pray for people. Some of you just speak the blessing upon them. Okay, you guys are bad at directions. Okay.
Yeah, hallelujah. I have a short word to say. I was praying, and God showed me a picture that they put us hands is a new hospital in Red Deer. Believe it or not, but I'm telling you. Potter's Hands Ministry is a new hospital in Red Deer. I was praying and God showed me that. Those people, they will come here, they are sick and they'll get healed. Amen.
We want to be secure in our love, secure in the Father's love today. And I just pray right now for anyone who there's still that woundedness. There's still some open bleeding happening. We want to take you at your word today, that you are trustworthy. That you are such a faithful God. You're a faithful God. Now you want to lay your hands upon us today and just say one thing. That I love you. I love you so much. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. I love you. And we stand on your promise today. And we say this with one voice. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord. Even as we put our hope in you. Amen.